is Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Three Republicans hope to become the next members of Congress to represent Western Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. That district includes all or part of 18 counties in southwestern and western Wisconsin. The district borders the Mississippi River and includes the cities of Eau Claire, La Crosse, and Stevens Point. The candidates will face each other in a primary on August 12th, and the winner will earn a spot on November's ballot. He or she will then face incumbent Democratic Congressman Ron Kind of La Crosse. Here today to talk about their stance on a number of federal issues are the Republican candidates. First up is Ken Van Doren of Mauston, and joining us from our Eau Claire studios is Karen Mueller, who now lives in Chippewa Falls. Tony Kurtz of Prairie du Chien was not able to join us because of a prior commitment. Each candidate will have about a minute and a half to answer the question, and they'll take turns answering the question first. First up is Ken Van Doren. Ken, I'm wondering if you could take a minute to tell us a bit about yourself.
Hi, retired building contractor from Mauston, Wisconsin. I'm a former Mauston City Council member, a columnist, a blogger. I've testified at numerous public hearings in Madison and elsewhere in pursuit of my vision of government. And that vision is that the first order of business for every government at every level should be to protect the rights of its citizens. And those rights are life, liberty, and property. And the best way I know to do that at the federal level is through a frugal and constitutionally limited government. And I think, you know, my political experience separates me from the other candidates. I've been in the party for, GOP, that is, for 7 years. I've helped other candidates. I've done quite a bit of work educating the public on a variety of issues like smart growth, a Common Core. And in fact, that's been a big issue of mine for the last 18 months or so. And it just a great variety of topics that I've helped to educate the public on. And thank you very much.
And Karen Mueller, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Hello. I'm an attorney. My undergraduate degree was in finance. And I have two years of medical training when I went to nurses training, but I never did finish that. In my practice as a private attorney, I did some civil rights work for religious freedom issues. I also did sanctity of life issues. In addition to that, I did employment law and also elder law in certain cases. I think I'm uniquely qualified for this position as an attorney with my background. I think that because of the number of issues we have that surround the Constitution, I think that I am uniquely qualified to be able to understand the laws, to be able to look at them and to determine what is constitutional, what is not constitutional, and to be able to see what needs to be done to correct some of the problems that we do have in Washington. And we do have numerous problems.
And Karen, I want to ask you the first question. And, you know, lately dominating the headlines are a number of foreign crises currently wreaking havoc overseas. So if you were elected to Congress, what would be your position on a number of these foreign policy crises? What do you think Congress in the U.S. Should the U.S. become involved? And maybe let's first talk about what's going on in Israel and Palestine.
Well, that's a very difficult issue. I believe that that has come about because of the policies of our own administration. And so now we are left in the situation of trying to figure out what to do about that. We do need to continue supporting Israel, and they have a right to defend themselves. That's number one. And in terms of beyond that, we certainly are not in a position to send troops over there. But I think we need to reiterate that, be very resolved that they have a right to defend themselves. And that's where that this situation started. We have numerous fires going over there. We've basically lost Iraq. Now we are also looking at Russia becoming very aggressive. This all has to do with very weak leadership on the part of our president. And as a congressperson, I think that we need to really encourage the president, encourage this administration to step up, and we can have strong economic sanctions against Russia. And we have to do that there regarding Syria and Libya. And now we're looking at Iran getting involved. We really have to take a very strong position so that Iran doesn't end up with nuclear weapons.
And Karen, that's a minute and a half. Ken okay. Van Doren, can I get your stance on Israel and Palestine?
Well, first of all, definitely Israel has a right to defend itself. I would hope they would do so with the with an eye to the human rights of the victims. And certainly there'll be some collateral damage in what they're doing. But my hope is that they would minimize the non-combatant injuries and, you know, target, you know, only those who are aggressive toward Israel. Now, that said, I would prefer that we don't give aid to either side in this, and I think Israel's position would actually be stronger if we followed that policy, because we give four times as much aid to Arab governments than we do to Israel, and quite often in these things we wind up arming both sides and making the matters worse. I think both sides get more aggressive when we do that.
And, Ken, I'm wondering if you want to expand maybe your thoughts on the situation in Russia and Ukraine right now as well.
Well, that, too, is a very complicated issue, and I don't claim to have all the facts. And in fact, I mistrust both this administration and the news media on this because, you know, in the past they have not been completely truthful. One thing I do see, though, is that, you know, we have proposals right now to put missiles on the very borders of Russia, and I think this inflames, you know, both Putin and the peoples of Russia, because, I mean, just look at what happened when we had missiles 90 miles away in Cuba. We were very excited about that. We helped to foment the revolution that overthrew the elected official there. Some $7 billion went to the Ukrainians. And I don't think it's our job to pick and choose winners and losers in these things. What I see also is that, you know, by being belligerent on both sides, both Putin and our own government are taking advantage of these adversarial positions here to limit the rights of our own our individuals here. I mean, We are becoming a police state in part as justification against this terrorism here. And I think, you know, the original foreign policy of Jefferson would serve us well: peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none. And as far as sanctions, that tends to hurt the people of the country a heck of a lot more than it does the government.
And Karen Mueller, can you expand on your thoughts on what's going on in Russia and the Ukraine and how and if Congress should get involved?
Well, again, I think that there is a place for economic sanctions, and I disagree with Ken there. I think that we are limited at this point. I think before we had many more options, and now we are much more limited because of the weak leadership that we have. And so we are somewhat backed into a corner here on what we can do at this point. But we can draw the line in the sand here, or down the road we will be dealing with another country that Putin wants to take over. This is a very aggressive leader, and he has now revealed that he is not interested in following national law. And I think there is some concern over whether he has violated an arms treaty, and of course we'll be getting more information on that in the days to come here. And so we just really need to take a look at a hard look at all the options, and I don't think anything in terms of economic sanctions should be off the table.
And Karen Mueller, you touched on this a bit before, but would you like to talk about maybe what Congress should be doing in terms of handling the situation in Iraq and maybe other situations in the Middle East?
Well, that's very difficult. We have this new terrorist group who has now become a terrorist army, ISIS, who seemingly came out of Syria. And they are the size of an army now, and we are on the verge of having the first terrorist state in, I think, the world history. And we have basically created this situation again out of a country that was stable but weak. And so at one point, are we going to have to confront them? That's going to be, we will see things unfold. Obviously, we are not prepared to go into that country now. We are, again, going to have to decide where we are going to draw the line. Is there going to be air support? I would have to look a little bit more at it, but I might be in favor of air support in terms of defending Baghdad, which, as I understand, is still standing. But I think the president right now really needs to start listening to his military commanders. And so that would be one big area. We're just really looking at what the military people are saying. We had the Marine Corps general, this would be General
Karen,
Amos,
you're at a minute and
the
half.
Commandant.
Sorry to interrupt, but you're at a minute and a half. Ken Van Doren, can you elaborate on your thoughts on how Congress should handle Iraq and the Middle East?
Okay, first I want to address the European situation there. You know, Europe is more at risk than the United States is, and Europe should take a greater role. If they see a threat, they have more people and collectively more wealth than the United States of America. And by us providing their military support, we're making ourselves less competitive in world markets. Regarding what's going on in Iraq, let's just back up, though. In Libya, in Egypt, now in Syria, and a bunch of other countries, you know, we have our military people, our State Department, and our CIA working to arm and train people who are connected to Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda. And as bad as Gaddafi was, I'm not saying Gaddafi, Assad in Syria, or Hussein, Saddam Hussein in Iraq are good guys, but a lot of times, you know, we have a situation where we're only choosing between bad guys. And ISIS, you know, that's terrorizing Iraq right now, they were helped by the U.S. government. And this just points out the insane foreign and military policy that we have. And we probably would have been better off in the world if we'd have just not participated in the internal affairs of these other governments.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, a forum with the 3rd District Congressional Republican candidates. My guests are Ken Van Doren of Mauston and Karen Mueller, who now lives in Chippewa Falls, is joining us in the Eau Claire studios. A third candidate, Tony Kurtz of Prairie du Chien, was not able to join us because of a prior commitment. Ken Van Doren, let's next talk about immigration. Congress has yet to tackle any sort of immigration reform, although President Obama has urged member of Congress to act. What is your position on immigration reform?
Well, I'm not sure we need a whole lot of reform. I'm not against immigration, but I want people coming through the front door, not the back. If they jump the border illegally, I think they should be permanently disqualified from citizenship. I think, you know, what's going on here with these young people, they should be contained as near the border as possible, given minimal treatment, and reunited with their parents, if that is in fact is what is going on. I heard someplace that we're flying people, you know, right from Honduras to this country. It's almost as if they're trying to flood. There's 7 billion people in the world. We have to protect ourselves from the people who are sick who want to come here and the criminal elements who want to come here. And most of all, you know, those terrorists, there's a legitimate concern. We should protect our borders to keep the terrorists out. Let's protect our borders, not the borders overseas.
And Karen Mueller, can you expand on your position on immigration reform?
Regarding the southern border, I disagree with Ken. It goes back to Iraq. ISIS is a terrorist state or on the verge right now. And we do have a national interest in that. As we hear what is happening on our southern border, there are more and more reports regarding the fact that in addition to the children, in addition to just poor people coming in, we also have gang members, we also have terrorists coming in. And because of that, we have a real concern here. Major General Kelly, 2 weeks ago, said that he is in charge of the South America Command, and he said we have a national defense crisis and that he can no longer control it. For a major general to come out and make that statement I think we should all pay attention to that as to what is coming across our border. We have a lot of children. We have a humanitarian crisis. And while we are paying attention to that, as we should be, I think it's hard for the Border Patrol to keep an eye on what else is coming in. So we have to close our borders, and we have to do it immediately. And
Karen,
I believe that we have to deport
Karen,
people
I'm wondering,
and take care of the children.
I'm wondering if you can talk about this wave of undocumented children from Central America who are coming to the U.S. How should the U.S. handle this situation? And do you see any room for these children to be housed in Wisconsin or even within the 3rd District?
I do have an answer. I do not want to see them warehoused. Obviously, right now, that is the situation that they are in. We have young children that have come to this country. From a legal perspective, if they're not accompanied by an adult, they are being neglected or they have been abandoned. And at that point, we have an obligation, I think, as compassionate Americans, compassionate Americans, and I think we all are, to look out for the best interests of these children. We do need to deport the parents, or I should say the adults, not the parents, in that situation. But where there are parents, then they need to go back. The children need to go back with them. If we can find out who the parents are, the children can go back. If the parents are not identifiable, we have to move along and be able to adopt these children and get them into homes in this country. And because we can't just let children languish in cages where they are now, in compounds. And so we could, these individual states could have a process for expediting the severance of parental rights where it's obvious that there are no parents stepping up to reclaim their children. And then we can adopt them. I'm sure there are people across this country that would love to adopt these children, but we can't keep them together in camps.
All right. And Ken Van Doren, can you talk about your stance on what the U.S. should do with the wave of undocumented children coming in from Central America?
Well, as I said previously, you know, we ought to take care of them down there. And I would think that we can either take the funding. We don't need to expand the federal budget. It's way the heck too big. Let's take it from agencies like the Department of Education that at the federal level shouldn't exist at all. Or let's take it from the defense because, you know, this is a defense item, in my opinion. Now, what I understand about Hispanic culture is they're very, very family oriented. So I got to believe that most of them children, if they were forcibly separated from their families, they want to be united. And we should make every effort to unite them with their parents back in their home country, if possible. The other thing we need to do is we need to see if there's anybody in the administration that is encouraging and fomenting this problem, and there should be some legal remedies there, too.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, a forum with the 3rd District Congressional Republican candidates. Ken Van Doren is from Mauston, Karen Mueller of Chippewa Falls, and Tony Kurtz of Prairie du Chien was not able to join us because of a prior commitment. Ken Van Doren, let's talk about the deficit. The deficit in the U.S. continues to climb. Do you have any sort of plan to maybe help bring down the deficit?
Absolutely. You know, the deficit, the federal debt is nominally at $17.5 trillion. It's $55,000 per man, woman, and child. But behind that, there are all kinds of unfunded liabilities that are not in that debt. You know, things like Medicare, Medicaid, all the federal pensions are unfunded, various insurance programs, and more. So the unfunded liabilities are more like $400,000 per man, woman, and child. We need to address this before we have a total economic collapse in this country. And one thing I would do is, you know, we have the rule of law, the U.S. Constitution. There's a whole bunch of agencies, like I previously mentioned, the Department of Education should be gotten rid of. The Department of Agriculture, if it continues at all, it should be having a statistical function only. And Department of Energy hasn't produced a barrel of oil. It should be shut down. And we can take a look at a whole bunch more. Every single agency should have a zero baseline budget, and it should have to justify every year every single penny rather than being granted automatic raises. There's a whole lot more that can be done, but I think I'm about out of time.
You had 30 seconds
left.
Oh, I
did?
Yes.
Well, let's save it for another question.
And Karen Mueller, can you talk about your deficit reduction plan?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to start with the Affordable Health Care Act. It's not affordable. It has we took over one-sixth of the economy, and it has continued to drag on the economy. We haven't seen the type of economic recovery that we should have, and we haven't seen the job growth that we should have seen by now. The problem with Obamacare is it, in my estimation, is a Trojan horse on the economy, on our health care system, and on our constitutional, on our Constitution. And it's going to, I believe, destroy all three of those. The reason Obamacare is such a problem is that there's not a number of people signing up, and there is not going to be enough people to sign up to pay for the people that need the care. What we need to do, it's not going to bring down health care costs. It is not going to lower insurance premiums. As we are seeing, insurance premiums are going to continue to skyrocket. And after the small business portion, which, by the way, Ron Kind, my opponent, authored, after that becomes activated in January, small businesses are going to get to see a real increase in their premiums. And so, again, we have to deal with Obamacare. We do need to balance our budget, and there are a lot of ways we can do that. I believe in small government. I believe in deregulation. We need to bring market mechanisms back in because they can stimulate growth.
Mm-hmm. Your time is up. I'm wondering, Karen, if you can now talk about maybe a plan to create jobs. We hear a lot about this, especially during election season. Do you have any sort of job creation plan? And what sort of industries in the 3rd District could potentially grow?
Again, one of the big hindrances, I believe, at this point is the uncertainty that has been brought about by Obamacare. You've got small businesses, and they are sitting on the sidelines and wondering what direction their taxes are going to go and the penalties are going to go. And all of these make for an environment where they are not likely to want to put a lot of money into new job growth and new businesses itself. So, again, we need to repeal Obamacare. In addition to that, as Wisconsin continues to lower taxes, that leads to an environment where we can hopefully be able to invite more and more businesses from both Illinois, from Iowa, from Minnesota into Wisconsin. Anytime we have a situation where there's less regulation at the federal level so that the states can compete, we are going to be in a situation where Wisconsin is going to be able to prosper and to bring in jobs.
Ken Van Doren, can you talk about your job creation plan and maybe industries in the 3rd District that could potentially grow?
The cost of government is right around 55%. That's 40% direct and indirect taxes, fees, licenses, et cetera, and then about another 15% that is cost of regulations. So we need to approach both of those. Right now, there's something like 175,000 pages of regulations at the federal level, 25,000 of them directed at Obamacare. A lot of those regulations are contradictory, so you're darned if you do it, you're darned if you don't. And the other thing is they add tremendously to the cost. For example, I was talking to the people at Ashley Furniture, and they're telling me that their per-employee cost of regulation is something like $14,000. How many jobs does that kill? How much higher is the cost of their merchandise because of that? You know, one thing you got to remember, the more the government takes, the less you take home, the less you have to save, spend, and invest to create jobs, to start businesses. And, you know, if we cut the burden of government, you know, both regulatory burden and the taxation burden, it will open the environment for job creation. And what kind of jobs? Well, you know, we have a market that is totally screwed up because of government interference, totally screwed up because of subsidies to some businesses. But, you know, some businesses suffer at the expense of their competitors who get these, politically appointed subsidies. So we get the government out of the way. That is the biggest job creator of all. And Obamacare is certainly a part of that.
Agriculture obviously plays a huge role in Western Wisconsin's economy. Do you have an interest in agriculture? And if so, what are those interests? And if elected, how would you make federal agriculture issues a priority? Or would you? Ken Van Doren?
Well, again, you know, I mentioned in the previous segment how some businesses fund their competitors. I lived out west in Arizona for 8 years, and it came to my attention that there were farmers out there who were paying less than 2 cents a kilowatt when the rest of the country was paying 10 cents. They were paying 20% or less of their water bill. So they were quite literally taxing Wisconsin farmers in order to export that production to California and Arizona. So, you know, Wisconsin lost its competitive posture in part because of the government. And that applies also to other industries as well. Just like other parts of the economy, the best thing to do is to get the heck out of the way. I remember when I was a kid, the thing was, hey, we got to subsidize so we can save the family farm. Well, where's the family farm today? If it exists at all, it's a corporation that has gobbled up a bunch of its neighbors. Currently, about 10% of the farmers take better than 80% of the subsidies out there, and it simply does not pay for small farmers to jump on this gravy train. But they do pay the taxes that help subsidize their competition. I don't think we should have a big agriculture or a little agriculture determined by the government. I think we need to get the government out of the way, and that'll open up economic opportunities in agriculture and elsewhere in the economy.
And Karen Mueller, your thoughts on federal agriculture issues?
You asked, first of all, if I had an interest in it, and I do. My grandparents farmed. They were dairy farmers down in southern Tremplo County as I was growing up. And so the need for dairy farms, because it is more than – it is a business, but it is also a way of life, and we need to do everything we can to preserve that way of life. In addition to my grandparents, I had cousins. In fact, my cousin still owns the family farm that my grandparents were involved in. So it's an issue that I'm very supportive of in terms of making sure that we can do things to keep the family farm. We all eat, and so the farming and what comes off of them, whether it's dairy or whether it's cattle or whether it's wheat or corn, it's all very important to us. We have a farming bill, the one that was passed last, that was about $80 billion, and 60 of that was food stamps. We need to separate out the food stamps. And what we were left with there was a $20 billion package once we get the food stamps out of the way. And as I understand, 10% or half of that, 50% of that $10 billion went to administrative costs, and the other went to farmers. That's totally unacceptable. I would be in favor of, at the very least, very much streamlining the Department of Agriculture. And
Karen Mueller,
so I think we need to take a hard look at those costs.
I'm going to give each of you a one-minute rebuttal as we come to the close of this first half. Karen, is there anything that you want to go back and expand upon for the next one minute?
I guess what I would like to talk to again is to go back to national defense. And what I would like to say is, I think I ran out of time there when I was talking about this would be the commandant of the Marine Corps and basically calling the president on the carpet for his policies in Iraq or regarding Iraq and being in the situation of allowing this terrorist organization to grow into a terrorist state. The commandant, in calling him on the carpet, that's a very rare move for somebody at that level to come out publicly and basically chastise the president. And I think we need to take that very seriously as to what that means for us, whether it's south of the border because we have terrorists coming in, or just looking at the long-term policies of what that means over in the region. It looks like there's the beginning of a caliphate over that there in a number of different countries.
And Karen,
we had a lot to do.
Karen, okay. That's time. Ken Van Doren, a one-minute rebuttal from you.
Okay, I forgot to mention in the farming thing there that my dad basically grew up on a farm, and my wife was the daughter of a farmer, and I've had great opportunity to get to know quite a few farmers, and in fact, some of my very best friends in South Wisconsin, Southwest Wisconsin come from the farm. Regarding national defense, Michael Hoyer was a CIA agent, and he was in charge of the Osama bin Laden unit, and he concluded, based on his studies of Osama bin Laden, that the reason they come here and fight us is because we are over there. So again, what we're witnessing here, the worldwide, I mean, oh, golly, every place you turn, everything we've touched in terms of foreign and military posture has blown up. This is what Michael Hoyer wrote about in his book called Blowback. That's what we're witnessing today. We have to respect the sovereignty of other countries, and we have to understand that at 4% of the world's population, we're not big enough, we're not rich enough, we're not powerful enough to be the cop of the world.
Ken Van Doren of Mauston and Karen Mueller, now lives in Chippewa Falls, is joining us in our Eau Claire studios. Today, it's a forum with the 3rd District Congressional Republican candidates. Tony Kurtz of Prairie du Chien was not able to join us because of a prior commitment. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, hear more from the 3rd District Congressional Republican candidates as they talk about health care and veterans issues. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. In November, one Republican will face Democratic incumbent Congressman Ron Kind in the race for the 3rd Congressional District seat. That district includes all or part of 18 counties in southwestern and western Wisconsin. The district borders the Mississippi River and includes the cities of Eau Claire, La Crosse, and Stevens Point. First, 3 Republicans will square off in a primary on August 12th. They're here today to talk about why they're running and their positions on a number of federal issues. Each of the candidates have a minute and a half to answer the questions, and they'll take turns answering the questions first. Ken Van Doren, I think you are up first on this next round of questions. A very contentious, polarizing issue going on in the U.S. right now is what to do about health care. Ken Van Doren, Karen Mueller, and Tony Kurtz all have said, at least through your websites, that you do want to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Ken, I'm wondering if you can sort of expand on that idea, and if you were voted into office and you were to vote on repealing the act, how would you replace and maybe reform health care within the U.S.?
Well, the problem with health care is the government got involved in it in the first place. You know, I remember when the first time I went to a doctor visit, which was some years ago, it was like $7 for an office call. Now I think it's over $100, and the value of the dollar generally is only about one-fifth of what it was back then. So, you know, the cost of regulation is monumental. 25,000 pages of healthcare regulation. Do we have to do something? Yes. Unfortunately, because of Ron Kind and Barack Obama, we've hurt a lot of people. Now, those who've had their health coverage terminated, like my friend Mike in Richland Center, was diagnosed a month after he lost his coverage because it wasn't compliant with Obamacare, and it has incurred well over $100,000. You know, he could afford his $7,000 deductible, but he can't afford all of this. So we're going to have to take care of those people who were unfairly hurt because, the whole thing was to take care of pre-existing conditions. Well, by pulling the rug from underneath these people, we've harmed them greatly. I was the only guy in this race who testified at one of Ron Kind's health care hearings. And in Richland Center, I asked him, based on what I read, Ron, how can we increase the bureaucracy? How can we increase the regulations? And how can we tax the very goods and services that everybody agrees are too expensive already and expect the price of health care to go down? But the very worst thing about it is it also creates 150 bureaucracies, and you're putting a bureaucrat between you and your doctor. And that bureaucrat, as evidenced by Barack Obama's willingness to use the political, federal bureaucracy is a political weapon. Those bureaucrats may not be your friend.
And Karen Mueller, can you explain your stance on the want to repeal the Affordable Care Act and your other thoughts on healthcare reform?
Yes, I have said from the beginning of this campaign that we needed to repeal Obamacare in its entirety. And again, it has taken over 1/6 of our economy. This is not sustainable. We will end up moving into a single-payer system, which I believe was ultimately the goal to begin with. But having said that, we have to repeal this now. And I would not replace it with anything. Our healthcare system was never broken. It did need tweaking. We did have people that had pre-existing conditions that needed healthcare, and we could have taken care of them with piecemeal legislation, which Republicans had proffered before Obamacare was ever enacted. And so I would like to see us turn the clock back. And now we have people that do not have health insurance that we are going to have to, we're going to have to basically fix that problem. What we do need is to encourage personal responsibility, and we can do that once again by getting rid of Obamacare and going back to a situation where doctors and clinics are competing, where people are being able to see their bills, where they can make personal choices regarding who can provide the best care for them at the least amount of cost. These are things that will truly bring down health care.
And Karen, let's next talk about veterans issues. The VA has come under fire for the way it treats some returning men and women who have served overseas. How can Congress act to make sure that veterans receive improved benefits and care?
This issue is very near and dear to me. I am the daughter of a World War II veteran, the wife of a Vietnam-era veteran, and I'm the mother of a 16-year active duty Marine. And for that reason, this is an issue that has been very important to me long before I started campaigning for this position. The veterans' care has been appalling from what we've heard across the country. I've heard much better reports in Wisconsin, and I think that speaks to the work ethic and the way in which Wisconsinites do honor their veterans. And so we're not hearing those reports. But the fact that we're having reports anywhere in this country of veterans dying, of veterans waiting for care and perhaps killing themselves because they can't get it is just appalling to me. My response to that, my answer is, just as with Obamacare, we never should have gotten the government involved. For the veterans, we need to privatize the veterans' health care. And the people who have borne the battle for us, who have been at the front lines of protecting us, they should have the best care, and they are not getting it. And we could save, I believe, billions of dollars by going to a voucher system for the veterans and having them go to into the private health care. And
Karen,
we basically could sell the facilities we have.
And Ken Van Doren, yes. Your stance on veterans' issues and improving the care that they receive.
Very good. You know, recently I was under attack from some very leaders of the Republican Party because I hate the military, which is absolutely false. You know, the first thing we need to do is we need to honor our veterans, honor our troops by not putting them in harm's way in never-ending no-win wars that we have either not the intention or not the ability to win. Right now, the Iraq war is going to cost us some $4 to $6 trillion over the next decade by the time we patch up all those people that are coming back broken, and absolutely we need to do our very best to make them whole. The Veterans Administration, this is not the first time there's been a scandal. I've been around for a few years, and I remember repeated scandals about how the Veterans Administration handles their hospitals. I believe that we need to immediately get people, if they can't get into a VA facility, there's plenty of unused hospital space. There's plenty of private doctors out there. We need to get them to a doctor ASAP if they need it. We need to look to closing down the Veterans Affairs Hospital, Veterans Administration's hospitals, and privatizing that function and making it either an insurance program or a voucher program of some sort. But again, those veterans who come back harmed by their duty, you know, they certainly deserve our utmost care. Another thing is there's 23 people per month committing suicide, veterans. We need to find out what the cause of that is. I'm very concerned about that.
And Ken Van Doren, let's next talk about gun violence in the U.S. and even in Wisconsin. Ken, both you and Karen Mueller are very strong advocates for the Second Amendment. And with that being said, is there a way that Congress can address the gun violence in this country without necessarily maybe diminishing your support of the Second Amendment?
Well, you take a look, and where's the gun violence worse? It's in places like Chicago and New York that have the most severe restrictions on gun ownership. And right now there's a war on ammunition that's taken place. This administration is doing everything it can to drive up the price of ammunition so that we can't use our guns. You know, the other thing is, you know, we need to have an atmosphere where people take responsibility for themselves. And, you know, much of what is going on, you know, I'm not a big fan of this victimhood mentality. We need to take, you know, we need to have school systems that promote individual responsibility a lot more than they do, rather than preaching, you know, like this. Well, anyway, I don't want to get into that right now. There's just a whole bunch of things as concerns education that that I think are problems, and a lot of that emanates from the federal government, too. But if criminals know that there is a gun in the house, or could be, they're a lot less likely to harm that person. And you take a look where there's the gun violence is least there in the law in the area where people have guns, where they're even encouraged to have guns.
And Karen Mueller, do you want to expand on your stance on maybe how Congress could reduce gun violence in the U.S.?
We have a mental health crisis in this country. Having said that, I don't think that Congress should be the ones to deal with that, other than perhaps in some form of guidance. What we do need is we need individual states to step up and to take a hard look at their mental health laws. Just as we have a commitment process and a guardianship process in Wisconsin that would allow for say if there's a commitment proceeding, there would be a check the box situation for a loss of a driver's license, loss of voting privileges. We should certainly have a due process hearing before somebody who is accused of having mental health issues. They too deserve those rights to make sure that, first of all, if they are dangerous to themselves or to others, they should not have a gun, and we could have that due process hearing expedited, and we could have it done in a way that not only are their rights protected, but certainly that we are protecting the public. And I think taking a hard look at those laws in Wisconsin would go a long way for reducing gun violence when it comes from people who do have mental health issues. And we need to make sure that we are caring for those people in appropriate ways.
Karen, that's time.
That will help them.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, it's a forum with the 3rd District Congressional Republican candidates. Karen Mueller is a Republican from Chippewa Falls. Ken Van Doren is a Republican from Mauston. And Tony Kurtz of Prairie du Chien was not able to join us today because of a prior commitment. Karen, let's next talk about education. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker has been among the voices lately to abandon the Common Core standards. And while some school districts have said they want to continue the initiative, others say they don't. How should and should Congress be the body that steps in and addresses this issue? And where do you stand on that?
When I started running for this office, one of the first issues that I talked about was Common Core. and I was the first candidate to talk about the need for basically doing away with the Department of Education. And I feel just as strongly about that now as I did before. There's been a lot of talk at the state level where it should be regarding whether or not the Common Core curricula should be adopted and whether that should be continued. And that is appropriate. It is a state issue. It is a local issue. And that's where it should remain. It should never be a federal issue as to what curricula should be taught. And there should be no situation that we have with Common Core where there is a Fourth Amendment implication, as there could be with Common Core when we are talking about data mining from a preschool age student up through high school or college, and where that data will be available and will be identifiable with that particular child throughout their lifetime. This is unacceptable, and we should be totally against it. That, and for that reason, I believe we have to repeal, or basically we have to abolish the Department of Education, and that would also help us in the area of budgeting, because we just don't need this. The services can be better performed at the state and local level.
And Ken Van Doren, your thoughts on federal education and the Common Core standards?
Well, first, I want to correct my friend from Chippewa Falls there. I have advocated for the elimination of the Federal Department of Education long, long years and years before I got involved in this race. And, in fact, Common Core was the big issue that I fought against in 2013 and only later decide at least my full involvement in it to run for office here. Let's take a look at what's happened over the years as the federal government has gotten more involved in education. The quality of the end product has gotten much, much less. We put more money in. That has not increased the quality of education. And in part, it is because of the rules and regulations that come from the feds. They provide something like 7% of the funding, and yet they have 70 to 80%, and under Common Core, close to 100% of the control of how the education will take place. We need to take a look, you know, if we're going to keep Common Core or get rid of Common Core. You know, the big thing that holds it together is this SBAC test, and Smarter Balance something or other. And we need to get rid of that SBAC test because a lot of those questions are interactive. They're training the kids. They're going after attitudes, inclinations, and beliefs. And, the lady from Chippewa Falls is also correct. The database is a tremendous violation of our civil liberties. It asks not only questions about test scores and attendance and grades, but it also gets into matters of that are private and personal, political and religious beliefs of the parents. It needs to go away.
I'm going to give each of you 1 minute for closing statements. I know there are many other topics we could have talked about, but Ken Van Doren, one final minute for you and your closing thoughts.
Well, I think it's clear the difference between me and the other candidates. I'm the only one that addresses the issues of wars that we shouldn't be in. I'm the only one that addresses crony capitalism and the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is not really free trade. It's sold as a free trade treaty, but it gives preferences to bigger corporations, and it relinquishes it if it follows the path of other free trade treaties. It'll relinquish our sovereignty to the World Trade Organization. I'm the only candidate who testified against Obamacare. I'm the only candidate who has been looking out for our rights in a big, big way for a long time. On the trail, I often state, you know, we have indefinite let's back up. We have no-knock raids. We have warrantless searches. We have indefinite detentions, NSA spying. We have a president who believes that he can use the federal bureaucracy as a political weapon. We have given, both Democrat and Republicans, have given our federal government the tools of tyranny, and we need to aggressively pursue freedom in this country.
And Karen Mueller, 1 minute.
Thank you. My platform from the beginning has been defending the Constitution and restoring our freedoms. We have a wholesale assault on our individual freedoms in this country. And whether you're Democrat or whether you are Republican, this should concern people, whether we're looking at Obamacare and medical records and privacy issues there, or Common Core and the Fourth Amendment issues there. We can look at the NSA spying. We can look at your cell phones and privacy issues there, which to some extent the Supreme Court has dealt with. We really need to take a serious look as a Congress at what the technology is and how we can protect people's rights. This is in the Constitution. We need to make sure that our rights are being protected. That is the government's job to do that. It is not the government's job to be finding out information about people and to be retaining that information or analyzing it or whatever else they are doing. This is a free country, and we need to make sure, both as Democrats and as Republicans, that we are leaving a free country for our children.
Karen, thank you. That's time.
Thank you.
Today, it was a forum with the 3rd District Congressional Republican candidates. Karen Mueller is of Chippewa Falls, Ken Van Doren is of Mauston, and Tony Kurtz of Prairie du Chien was not able to join us because of prior commitments. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear audio archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers, check us out on our website at wpr.org/newsmakers.